Tonight we will continue our study through the Bible. We'll go back to Jeremiah and the rotten figs in chapter 24. And also we'll be looking at chapter 25 this evening. So that's your assignment for this afternoon, the evening study, Jeremiah 24, 25. But inasmuch as we are moving into the nearness of the Christmas celebration, well, we're in the celebration now, but into the nearness of the day, we thought that we would take this portion of the story of the birth of Christ from Luke's gospel and take a little closer look at it. For Luke tells us that in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. 6 months earlier, the angel Gabriel had come to Zacharias, who was a priest, an old man, who was ministering in the temple, and his particular task was to offer the incense before the altar of the Lord. As he was doing so, he saw there by the altar of incense the angel Gabriel standing, and he was startled by the appearance of the angel, who assured him that he had nothing to fear, but that his wife, Elizabeth, in her old age, the one who had been known as barren, the one, according to her husband's word, was stricken with years, she was going to conceive, and she was to have a son. He was to name him John. And John was going to go forth in the spirit and the power of Elijah to make the people ready for the coming of the Lord. Now, 6 months later, Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. And thus, the angel now, 6 months later, and in the sixth month, that would be the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy that was predicted by the angel. This same angel, Gabriel, came to the city of Galilee, or the city in Galilee named Nazareth. Gabriel, it would seem, was commissioned by God to oversee the details of the birth of the Son of God into the world. It would seem that the Lord said, okay, Gabriel, now, you know, this is the task, and you inform the people and you take care of things. And so Gabriel actually began his mission some 550 years earlier. He had come to the prophet Daniel, telling him the very time that the Messiah would come. 550 years B.C., Gabriel came to Daniel, who was in Babylon, and he said, Daniel, know and understand, from the time that the commandment will go forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the coming of the Messiah, the Prince, will be 483 years. The commandment went forth in 445 B.C. to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. So now we are coming into the generation in which the Messiah is to appear. Then he appeared to Zacharias 6 months earlier while he was ministering in the temple. And now he comes to this village of Nazareth, in the area known as Galilee. Galilee was the upper area of the nation of Israel. The city of Nazareth was a city with a bad reputation. When Jesus began his public ministry and Philip found Jesus and was convinced that he was Messiah, he came to his friend Nathanael and he said, come, for we have found the Messiah. He is Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael quipped, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? It was a city with a bad reputation. As Jesus was ministering, he received an accusation from the Pharisees that he made friends with sinners and publicans. He associated with them. And Jesus, in his defense of this accusation, said, "I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but the sinners. Those that are well don't need the physician, it is those who are sick. And I came to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus is declaring that he does identify with sinners, and thank God he does. Else where would we be? But Jesus identified with them in order that he might save them from their sin. And thus, he grew up in a town with a bad reputation and was noted for his keeping company with sinners, but always with the thought of redemption in mind, willing to rub shoulders with them if he could bring them to salvation. Now, we are told that Gabriel was sent to a virgin who was espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. The word virgin in Greek is prosthenos, which can mean nothing other than virgin. Prosthenos. Now, some 700 years earlier, beg your pardon, 600 and some, the Lord had said that he was going to give a sign that a virgin would conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, which by interpretation is God with us. So the virgin birth was predicted by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 7. Now we are told that the angel was sent to this virgin living in Nazareth who was espoused to a man by the name of Joseph. In those days, marriage was by arrangement. Your parents were the ones who would arrange the wedding. Often they would do that without your consent, and often it would be done very early in your life. If your parents had friends that had a little boy born about the time you were born, as they were visiting together, they might say, "You know, they're so cute together. Look at the way they're playing there. Why don't we have them get married?" And so they would arrange for your marriage. So you could go to kindergarten and say, "Well, I'm engaged to that girl over there." For the engagement was when the parents made the arrangements, you were considered engaged. But as the time for the wedding approached, 1 year before the wedding was a time of preparing yourself for marriage and for your bride or groom, as the case may be. During this 1 year time of preparation, it was called the espousal, when there was that total devotion and commitment to preparing yourself for the other person. The espousal was a legal relationship and could only be broken by a writ of divorcement. However, the marriage was never consummated until the wedding day. But the espousal was this 1 year waiting period prior to the wedding day, and Mary and Joseph had entered in to this year waiting espousal as they were preparing themselves for each other and the wedding day. we are told concerning Mary that she was of the house of David. That is necessary in order to fulfill the prophecies concerning the Messiah, because he was to sit upon the throne of David. And we are told here, the angel told her that indeed he would sit upon the throne of his father David. And Luke's gospel gives us the genealogy of Mary back to David, going through David's son Nathan. Now, Joseph also was a descendant of David, but he was a descendant of David through Solomon and through Jeconiah. Jeconiah was cursed, and none of his descendants would ever sit upon the throne of Judah according to the curse of God because of his sin. Thus, if Joseph had been the father of Jesus, he would have been disqualified from the throne of David, but being the son of Mary, son of God, he is entitled to the throne of David, which he will one day assume. But the we are told in the text that Mary was of the house of David, and we are told the virgin's name was Mary. Now, the angel said many things about Mary. First of all, he said she was highly favored. And certainly we would have to confess that Mary was indeed highly favored by God, honored by God, and chosen by God for this very special privilege of bringing the Christ child into the world. Of all of the women who have ever been born, ever lived upon the earth, one out of all of the women was chosen, and that was Mary, chosen by God, highly favored by God. And the scriptures give us enough insights into the character of Mary where we realize that the choice was a proper choice. Mary had such a depth of relationship and devotion with God. In the later part of chapter 1, we have what is called the Magnificat of Mary. That was that spontaneous burst of praise when she was at her cousin's house and they were talking about the Lord and the things of the Lord. Mary's heart just overflowed with spontaneous praise. And in that praise, there's a revelation of her understanding and knowledge of the scriptures and of that close, beautiful relationship she had with God. Highly favored. The angel said to her, "The Lord is with you." Now, in the Old Testament, when the prophet came to King Asa, he said, "The Lord is with you if you will be with him. And if you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." The statement, "The Lord is with you," indicates that it was Mary's longing and purpose to be with the Lord. She walked with the Lord, in fellowship with the Lord, and thus the Lord was with her because she desired to be with him. The angel said that she was blessed among women, a unique blessing. She is to be the mother of the Christ child. When she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was expecting little John, her cousin Elizabeth said unto her, "From henceforth shall all nations call you blessed." And that is why we refer to her as Mary the Blessed, or the Blessed Mary, or the Blessed Mother of Jesus, because she was blessed among women. He then told her that she was to conceive, and she was to bear a son, and she was to call his name Yahshua. The Hebrew Yahshua, or, well, we pronounce it Joshua, but in the Hebrew it's Yahshua. The name means Jehovah is salvation. And so she was to name him Yahshua because he was to be the Savior of the world. Now concerning Jesus, the angel Gabriel said to Mary, "He shall be great." Paul tells us that God has given to him a name that is above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He shall be great. There is coming a day when every tongue shall confess that. Every knee shall bow, the atheist, the agnostic, the sinner, the saint. Everyone will be required to confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Even those who have not believed or rebelled against him, their knee will bow, their tongue will confess. Peter, in talking concerning Jesus Christ, he said, "For there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved." The name of Jesus. He shall be great. The name of Jesus. Glorious. And then the angel said, "He shall be called the Son of the Highest." The Highest is equivalent of God. And thus in a few verses he will say that he is called the Son of God. Conceived by God. Sent by God. Commissioned by God. God later said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He shall be called the Son of the Highest. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. God sent his Son into the world. We are told that 10 times in the Gospel of John. God sent his Son into the world. He will be known. He will be called the Son of God. Gabriel said, "The Lord will give unto him the throne of his father David." This clearly identifies the Son of Mary as the Messiah. For the prophecies of the Old Testament prophesied that the Messiah would sit upon the throne of David. God promised to David that the Messiah would come from his seed who would sit on the throne of David forever. In Isaiah chapter 11 concerning the Messiah, he would be a branch out of the stem of Jesse. In Isaiah chapter 9, he would sit upon the throne of David to order it and to establish it in righteousness and in judgment from henceforth even forever. So the angel said that he would be upon the throne of his father David, and that he would reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. The glorious, eternal kingdom of God, he would be upon the throne. In the book of Revelation, when Jesus finally takes the authority that is his to reign, we read that heaven breaks forth in glorious singing, praises unto God, hallelujah, for the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. And so we wait for that day. We long for that day. We pray for that day. For Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. Now, when Mary received this word from the angel, she was puzzled. She perceived certain problems. One, how is this going to happen since I'm a virgin? How can I have a child when I'm a virgin? Now, hers was not a question of doubt. When the angel told Zacharias that his wife Elizabeth was going to have a child, he doubted that. What do you mean? She's old and stricken with years. How can she have a child? And so the angel rebuked him. Gabriel rebuked him for not believing. He said, well, tell you what, you won't be able to speak until the day the child is born. That'll prove to you. And so he was rebuked for his unbelief. Mary's was not unbelief. Notice she didn't say, how can I have a child? She said, how shall I? She's asking about the method. How's this going to happen? She believed it, but she didn't know the process by which it would come to pass. And so Gabriel explained to her the process. The Holy Spirit was going to come upon her life. And the child would be born by the agency of the Holy Spirit coming upon her. The power of God was to overshadow her. Her life overshadowed by the Father. And thus the Holy One that was to be born of her would be called the Son of God. And then the angel added, for nothing shall be impossible with God. Now, later on, Jesus said, for with God, all things are possible. He put it in the positive. Gabriel sort of put it in the negative, for nothing shall be impossible with God. Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. Difficulty must always be measured by the capacity of the agent that's doing the work. Now, is it difficult to make a pulpit like this? All depends. You know anything about shapers, routers? You know anything about table saws and all? If you have a knowledge of these things, it's not, you know, it's a pretty basic, simple piece of furniture. If you're really skilled and you know about woodworking. Now, if you know nothing about woodworking, if you don't know how to turn a saw on and you don't know what a shaper and a router is, then you might have a little difficulty. But if you have a bunch of trained poodles, then you have a real problem trying to get them to build this pulpit. It all depends on the capacity of the agent doing the work, you see. Now, when God is the agent that's going to do the work, difficulty disappears. You can't even talk about difficulty. He said, behold, I'm God. Is there anything too hard for me? And thus the angel said, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Even your old cousin Elizabeth is pregnant right now with a child. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And so Mary's response was, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. It was a beautiful, quiet, sweet acquiescence to the will of God. All right. Be it unto me according to your word. Calling herself really the handmaid, the servant of the Lord. Let the Lord accomplish his purposes through me. Now, this surrender to the will of God was going to be costly to Mary in the years to come. It was to cost her her reputation. It was to cause her a lot of suffering and a lot of pain. People make a real mistake if they think that surrendering your life to the will of God is going to be a life of just happiness and partying and great mirth. The will of God often entails pain and suffering, sorrow. With Mary, the first thing she was going to experience was this alienation from the man she's espoused to. When he discovers that she is pregnant, he doubts her story. And he finds himself in a difficult dilemma. Here we're a spouse, we're committed to each other. And yet now she is pregnant. And he was torn by it, and no doubt it tore Mary to see him doubting her word. And it was not until the angel of the Lord came to Joseph and told him that Mary indeed was speaking the truth, that that which was conceived in her was from the Holy Spirit, that he took her then and married her. But then the fact that she was pregnant so quickly after the wedding caused the tongues in Nazareth to begin to waggle, you might say. And there was that shadow of suspicion that was cast over Mary in the minds of the people. Here she was, chosen of God, highly favored by God, pure, so pure. And yet she had to live her life now under this cloud of suspicion. When Jesus was a grown man and talking with the Pharisees, they brought up the issue. They said, in effect, that he was born as the result of Mary's fornication. It still hung on years later. And so Mary had to live with this. When Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple to present him to the Lord, as he was just an infant, there was a devout, godly man living in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and God had promised this man that he would not die before he had seen God's salvation, or the Messiah. So when Mary and Joseph were bringing Jesus into the temple to present him to the Lord, at that same time Simeon was coming into the temple and seeing the child. He took him in his arms and he raised his head towards heaven and he said, "Oh Lord, now let your servant die in peace, for I have seen thy salvation." And then he turned to Mary and he began to prophesy to her. And he said, "This child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel." But he said, "A sword also shall pierce your soul. You're going to experience pain because of this child. Tremendous pain. A sword is going to pierce your soul." Some 32 years later, Mary understood the prophecy as she stood at the foot of the cross and looked up and saw her son hanging there. As she heard the mocking of the crowd, the jeers, the taunts, and as she saw his suffering. When the soldier put that spear through his heart, it was like the spear was being driven through her own heart, the pain that she experienced. A sword will pierce your own soul. And thus it was costly, saying, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word." And I really believe that Mary understood and knew that cost when she said it. I think that she knew that it wasn't going to be easy, that it was going to create a lot of problems. She may not have known the full extent, but you remember when the Lord called Paul on the road to Damascus. Later on, the Lord said, "I have told him all of the things that he's going to have to suffer for my name's sake." The Lord's up front. The Lord doesn't say, submit to me and it's going to be so glorious. You're just going to have nothing but happiness and prosperity and goodness the rest of your life. No, he doesn't say that. He's honest. He's straightforward. He said, they're going to persecute you. For they who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If they didn't receive me, your master, they're not going to receive you. But you will be blessed when men will curse you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. You need to rejoice because great is your reward in heaven. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me even as you have said." Even as Mary was special in that she was chosen by God for this glorious honor of bearing the Son of God and bringing him into the world. In a spiritual sense, not physical, that was unique for Mary, but in a spiritual sense, each of you are special in that God has chosen you. That through the Holy Spirit coming upon you and working in your life, you might bring the knowledge and the love of Jesus Christ into the world. Paul, writing to the Galatians, said, "I have travailed in prayer for you until Christ be formed in you." And so God has chosen that Christ should be formed in you. He was formed, his body was formed in Mary. In her womb, there tabernacled the Son of God. But in your life, there also tabernacles the Son of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God and in our relationship and fellowship with God, the effect of that is Christ being formed in us and being revealed to the world. Oh, what a privilege. What a blessing. Lord, behold the servant of the Lord, be it unto us even as you have said. And may Christ, by the Spirit of God, be revealed through us to this world, especially this Christmas season. So we pray. Father, we thank you for that work of the Holy Spirit as he conforms us into the image of Christ, that you might reveal yourself to the world through your church. Help us, Lord, that we might be so filled with your Spirit, with your love, that the world around us will see your beauty, your glory in and through our lives. Lord, how we long for that day when your kingdom comes, when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and when you will establish, Lord, the righteous reign over the earth. Thank you, Lord, for being able to be a citizen of your kingdom, and that our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who, when he comes, will change these vile bodies that we might be fashioned after his glorious image, according to that power of the Holy Spirit that works in us. Lord, let us be overshadowed by your presence, by your love, and let us bear witness of Jesus to a dark and dying world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? This past week, I had the unfortunate experience of having to go to the mall. I met another fellow in the department store from Calvary, and he came up and he hugged me. He said, oh, he said, I can't wait to get out of this place. I said, me too. There's a high vibe. There's a tenseness. Walking through the first floor, there was the women's department, and there was, must have been, I don't know how many, standing there with little perfume things ready to spray you with perfume, you know, as you went through. What does that have to do with Christmas, with the birth of Christ, you know? Hopefully all I have is Toys R Us left for me. I can handle that one a little better. But it is extra pressure. You know, getting a parking place and all, it's pressure. And my heart goes out to you who have to go through that routine. My wife and the rest of you that have to go through it. Thank God for a wife that goes to the mall, and she can handle it. She's got stronger fortitude or whatever than I have. I just can't handle the place. But with the pressures, I pray that the distractions that are there will not distract you from the real meaning of Christmas and the message of Christmas and the joy of Christmas. The joy that all of us know because our sins are forgiven, because he did come to seek and to save those who were lost. And may God be with you and bless you. And as Mary, may you live in that kind of fellowship and communion with God, that it will be said, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. You're blessed. You're blessed because you are a child of God through Jesus Christ. And may you just escape into those blessings that he has for you this Christmas season.